Today, the first time buyer dilemma. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. And today I want to talk specifically to first time buyers because we're going to dive into the minds of those first time buyers and offer five reasons why they should consider buying now, but also five reasons why they should wait to highlight the dilemmas that they face as the Australian property market is going through a very significant pivot. The once sure bet that property values seemingly always rise is now in question. Although note, in fact, over the past 40 years, we did actually see several bouts of price falls. For example, in 2017, when APRA clamped down on lending for investing purposes, something which they did again earlier this year, in the interests of financial stability. And prices are falling now almost everywhere, as the latest data from Cotality shows. Even so, according to recent ABS data, Australian household wealth stands at a record $19.2 trillion in the March quarter of this year. Of that, a massive $13 trillion is tied up in residential property, and wealth in property is around three times that held in superannuation, while direct investment in shares is around 9%, down, by the way, from 13% in the early 2000s. And we also hold the prize for the amount of household debt we have, by the way. So much of that wealth in property is illusory because it's mortgaged. At the other end of the spectrum, by the way, US households have a greater share of their wealth in equities at around one third. And while home prices over there are higher compared with where they used to be, relatively they are much cheaper still than in Australia relative to income. This massive accumulation of wealth in property came about from quite deliberate policies set over the past 40 years, including a decades-long decline in interest rates until recently, and changes to borrowing capacity rules, which allowed people to grab much bigger loans relative to income, tax settings which rewarded investment property ownership, now of course changed, and higher demand from very high migration, and some supply limitations thanks to planning and construction issues. No, the housing market is not dominated by supply, despite what the construction industry would want you to believe. Now, another point that's worth making is that in Australia, this wealth is concentrated amongst older households who have risen the rising escalator of home prices over time. But younger households are finding the path to home ownership now harder than ever. During my conversation with individual households, many of whom are indeed first-time buyers, there is great pressure to try and buy something, anything, to get on the so-called property ladder. A concept, by the way, which was nursed into existence by the real estate industry and journalists attached to that industry, and which, in my view, is far from helpful. Remember, the industry is rewarded for getting a transaction done at any cost, and agents are desperate to win their commission, to the point that some will tell porkies, although there are, of course, some good people out there who are doing the right thing, but they all need transactions at, well, any cost. But on the other hand, affordability is all but impossible for many, even with two full incomes on the back of no real wages growth for a decade, sky-high inflation, the official statistics don't tell the true cost for most people, and as a result, people are buying later in life, if they can. They're postponing household formation, yet alone having kids, and are more stuck in the rental sector than ever before, where rents are still climbing faster than incomes, or they're choosing to live with parents. So in fact, first-time buyers are now facing a massive dilemma. So let me give you five reasons why it is still worth considering buying at the moment if you're a first-time buyer, and five reasons why you might want to stay out of the market and wait for the current correction to work itself out, if and when it does. The first reason to consider a purchase now is that there is more choice of properties on the market. Depending on where you look and what property type you're seeking, there are as much as 30% more stock on market compared with months back. And so there are just simply more options out there. More choice. The second reason to consider a purchase now is that prices have eased lower. Again, it depends where you look and what type of property you are seeking. But in some suburbs, asking prices are down as much as 10% or even more. And of course, there are less investors competing with first-time buyers, again, helping to ease prices. But vendors, of course, have long memories of those halcyon days when prices were higher and always rising. So it does seem that while some are choosing to sit and wait, other vendors are indeed motivated to sell and will be prepared to take a fall in price. The third reason for first-time buyers to consider a purchase is there are still government schemes, including the 5% deposit scheme launched last autumn and other stamp duty exemptions. This means first-time buyers can access the falling market more easily, although, of course, 5% deposit, which avoids the cost of lender's mortgage insurance, means there's a risk of falling into negative equity because of the smaller buffers. But then, negative equity is only really a paper problem unless you are forced to sell. So first-time buyers should be thinking about a longer-term hold and be prepared to accept a dip into negative equity in the short term, which is painful, but not that serious. The next reason is that a home is primarily a place to build a life and a family. It's not a simple financial investment. While over the past decades, the economic context has rewarded property owners thanks to cheaper credit, tax breaks, and government incentives, paid, of course, for by the taxpayers, which allowed leverage to turn even modest price gains into substantial wealth. But while this is now changing, the prime purpose of owning a house is for shelter, security, and family growth, plus the idea that paying a mortgage on something that you may one day own outright, compared with continued rental payments, is actually more attractive. But it's worth noting that the investment thesis for property is now different today. And in fact, I would not be looking at property investment, not even the new builds, because their prices are still rising relative to market value. And the gross and net returns are, well, rubbish at the moment. You could do a lot better in other investment classes. The fifth reason is that the value is predominantly in the land, not the building. So smart buyers will avoid the high-rise monstrosities which are springing up thanks to government policy and focus on places with land and therefore more longevity. In fact, through the property cycles, these types of properties do better. They hold their value more reliably and rise when markets turn a corner, as they will do at some point, although this current downturn is likely to continue for some time yet. So be careful where you buy and what you buy. So these reasons will be compelling for many households. And according to my latest research, there are around 125,000 households actively seeking to transact even now, and another 350,000 or so sitting on the fence with some intention to transact in the months and years ahead. And I note that around 20% of those are people who've arrived in Australia as first-generation migrants, by the way. But now let's turn to the five reasons not to purchase at the moment. The first is simply that as prices have further to fall, if you wait, you can buy cheaper later. Now again, it does depend on where you look and what type of property you're seeking to buy. But yes, prices will probably fall further than many people think. Now, for example, just revise their estimates down to a 10% drop, and other banks seem to be following suit, not least because of the higher for longer interest rate scenarios and the changes to government policies to tilt the playing field away from investors. And if Tony Burke's migration changes, which I discussed yesterday, are real, this could mean a drought in migrants too, so reducing demand further. While more vendors are getting caught in the debt trap, meaning they have to sell. This, in a nutshell, is the FOOP, the fear of overpaying, which is now dominating many people's thoughts, and it is real. The second issue is affordability constraints. Despite the government's schemes, the APRA-imposed 3% buffers means that banks are lending more carefully, and many first-time buyers are not able to borrow sufficient to get into the market in a place they want to live, even with two full incomes. Rentvesting is, I think, by the way, dead for most people now. So given high inflation, flat incomes in real terms, and other factors, the sums just cannot add up. Third, there are ongoing costs to home ownership, from insurance to council rates to repairs and maintenance, all of which will be subject to inflationary pressures ahead, and incomes are just not keeping up. So the assumption that it might be financially painful for just a year or so, but then we'll grow out of it, no longer seems to hold true. In my surveys, the duration of financial stress is increasing, and for many, costs of renting are still lower than owning when you do all of the sums. Fourth, values will drop further and equity will be destroyed. For many households who've spent years saving for a deposit and making big sacrifices, and perhaps also tapping the bank of mum and dad for financial help, though I would add that bank looks to be shrinking at the moment as the older generations also come to terms with wealth destruction, the idea of losing that value is hard to swallow. Term deposits, for example, are offering up to 6% at the moment. So wealth building is easier when compared with illiquid property market in other areas. And households are genuinely frightened of losing wealth. And also note apartments, especially newer ones with high defect levels and big strata fees, are doing the worst at the moment. So yes, wealth destruction is definitely quite possible. And fifth, life is different now. I'm getting strong feelings from households that they just do not want necessarily to play the property game. And in fact, diversification away from property is becoming more attractive, not least because of the recent AI-led stock price rallies and liquidity of investments beyond property. This is often coupled with a reluctance to be more committed to Australia, as the talk of looking to move abroad gains momentum. While Australia remains a great place to live for many, others are thinking the grass is greener elsewhere. And indeed, some are now voting with their feet. Property is cheaper, economies are doing better, and lifestyle can also be more attractive. Bearing in mind the illiquidity of property and the high transaction costs of buying and owning, some households are choosing to take a different path. And some will say, who can blame them, given the current political and economic settings in Australia? So in summary, there are some significant pros and cons for first-time buyers to weigh up. Different people will make different decisions. But either way, I suggest there is no urgency to transact at the moment. And either way, make sure you do your sums carefully. Remember, a decision to buy property is for life, not just, as they once said, for Christmas. But put in the comments below, what have I missed? What factors should first-time buyers be thinking about now? And if you're a first-time buyer, are you thinking of buying or are you thinking of waiting? I'd love to hear from you. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.